Thank you so much, Kitty. It's a blessing to sing to the greatness of our God. Amen. The Bible says He is great and greatly to be praised from the rising of the sun to its setting. His name alone is to be praised. So we thank you for joining us in praising the great name of God. Well, today, we are glad you are here. It is not by chance that you are here. God has a purpose, a plan for you for being here today. So please, as Pastor Jay always tells us, show respect to yourself and to the people around you. And the Lord will minister to us. Well, new beginnings are possible in our lives. How many of you believe that? That you can have a new beginning? I mean, if you don't believe that, I don't know what is happening to you. Well, just ask Brian, a young man who joined a gang in elementary school. Brian ran away when he was only 12 years old. And for 3 years, he was lost in a gang and drug life. Some of you know that experience very well. Although he left the gang and returned home, it was difficult for him as he had been expelled from school for dealing in drugs, selling drugs. When he enrolled in a new school, however, a teacher inspired and encouraged him to write about his experiences rather than repeat them. So he embraced the challenge and is now experiencing a fresh start in his life. Thank God for fresh starts in our lives. Well, God, through the prophet Isaiah, prophetically far in advance, encouraged the Jewish exiles to think about a new beginning that he was going to bring into their lives. Because they were taken from their land. I mean, Isaiah was speaking far in advance before that event happened. It says, but if you go there into Babylon in captivity, there is a new beginning that I'm planning for you. He admonished them, therefore, to stop dwelling on God's discipline of them and even on his display of power through the original Exodus from Egypt. He wanted their attention to be focused on God, who will give them a new beginning. And that is the message to you and to me today. Your focus must be on God. My focus must be on God, who is willing to give me what? A new beginning, and who is willing to give you a new beginning. Even after our failures, our flounderings, God is able to give us a new beginning, bringing his people from Babylon through a new exodus. He will give them a new beginning. I tell you, friends, with God, new beginnings are possible in our lives, in our hearts, in our circumstances in life. If that was not the case, most of us would have lost hope for life and for eternity. But thank God, new beginnings are always possible for us. So this is because Almighty God can and will help us to let go of the past and start clinging to Him with a fresh new hope for a fresh new beginning in our lives. This message is that it's not just for you, it's for me. Because I want to let go of the past, the failures of the past, so that I can embrace the new beginning that God has already prepared even before I failed and even before you failed. He has already prepared a new beginning for you and for me. So this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me to deliver to you at this special hour in your life and my life. So please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is poised and prepared to plant the seed of God's what? Life-changing and lasting truth. In order to transform genuine born-again believers among us here today more into the blessed and the beautiful likeness of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord, who is the lover, who is the leader and the life of the church. And to turn unbelievers among us here today from their sin of unbelief, gently and graciously leading them to genuine repentance and personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. So here is our message in a nutshell. Please, I politely ask you to pay very, very close attention to it with an open heart and an open mind, willing to do what? Willing to receive it and then respond to it. So here's our message. God promises to do yet greater things for his believing people than he had done in the past, giving them a new beginning, all for his praise and for their good. To put it another way, God assures his children of a fresh start in their lives for his praise and for the progress of his people into his purposes. This is the blessing God wants to give you today, that you have a hope that no matter how much you have failed, God has a new beginning for you today if you embrace it and if I embrace it. So folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to freshly and faithfully enrich and endear our hearts today with an encouragement, with something uplifting, with something hopeful. That is, God, listen carefully, is so delighted and desirous in blessing his chosen, his consecrated people with a fresh start in life, no matter how dark and dirty your past has been, or my past has been. God is delighted and desirous to give you a fresh start. In fact, the Bible will not only show us how delighted and desirous God is in blessing his people with a new beginning, but it also shows us that God is so determined to do a new thing which far surpasses what he had done for them in the past. Oh, what a loving, caring, compassionate God we have, who is always looking for your best interest and also for my best interest, not only in this life, but also in the life to come. That is the God we serve. He's a God who is always looking for your best interest in this life and also in the life soon to come. And he's the God who is looking for my best interest, working all things so that he will accomplish his very best purpose for my life. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 to 19. Will you please listen carefully as I recite our gospel story from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 to 19. Perhaps I might recite the 20th verse also. Isaiah, because Isaiah spoke so much about the suffering of the Messiah, Isaiah is affectionately called the fifth gospel, because he looked far in advance and saw the suffering of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, which is all the gospel focuses on. And so Isaiah is called the fifth gospel. So will you please listen as I recite this passage from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 to 19. We'll see if I go to 20. The Bible says, "Do not call to mind the former things, or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert." Verse 20, "The beast of the field will glorify me. The jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people." This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. Well, Isaiah, the prophet's name, means that the Lord is salvation, or the Lord has saved. That is what his name means. He ministered in Jerusalem during the reigns of kings Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah from 440 BC to at least 701 BC. So before 700 years, over 700 years before Christ will come, Isaiah the prophet was speaking about him. And then he also spoke far in advance after the cross and the resurrection of Christ. His 40 years of preaching doom and promise did not turn the nation of Judah from its headlong rush toward destruction. They were going to self-destruct because they chose to disobey God. That is how I self-destroy myself. And you self-destroy yourself. It's not Satan, but you destroying yourself by choosing to disobey God. Then you have to pay the consequences. And I'll have to pay the consequences. But thank God, he can give still a new beginning. Isaiah was faithful preaching the message God gave him to preach, even though the people did not respond to his message. Well, that's what prophets do. They give the message out. If people respond, praise God. If people don't respond, they are still faithful to declare the word of God. Isaiah chapter 43, where we find ourselves today, is so precious and so personal, both for God and for his people. In fact, this morning I was so encouraged because I had prepared this message last week, and this morning when I was reading my devotional, I read the Daily Bread. I have my personal devotional that is just reading the Bible from beginning to the end every year by God's grace. But I also read passages, the Daily Bread, because I want God to speak to me through somebody else, not through my own. So as I open today's daily bread, Isaiah 43, I'm like, Lord, this is so sweet. You are just feeding me more so that I can feed your people. Well, Isaiah chapter 43 is, as I said, is so precious and personal for both God and for his people, because first and foremost, it greatly exalts the person of Yahweh. He's presented as Yahweh, that is the self-existent, the self-sufficient, the sovereign and the supreme deity of the universe. That is what it means to say God is Yahweh, the Lord, or as some people say, Jehovah. He is that God. He's also portrayed to us as the creator of Israel, the king of Israel, the savior of Israel, the God of Israel, the Holy One of Israel, the Redeemer of Israel, the Holy One, the eternal God, who himself boldly declares in Isaiah 43, "There is no savior besides me." Isaiah 43 also gloriously elevates the power of Yahweh as his divine power is able to make a way through the sea, or able to make a way through what? The wilderness. His power is such that his enemies are absolutely defeated every time they engage in warfare with God. Isaiah 43 also glowingly endorses Israel as the people of Yahweh. Yahweh himself spoke of them as being mine. Says, you are precious in my sight. You are honored and I love you. Remember the song we sang about the good father? Says what? I am loved by you. Well, it was a message given to the people of Israel a long time ago. God tells them, you are loved by me. He loves you and he will always call you by his name. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are important to God because he loves you. Isaiah 43 also gratefully eulogizes the pardon of Yahweh. Oh, how tempting it is for us to remind someone of their past or his or her past offense. But when Yahweh forgives you and forgives me, he totally chooses to forget. He will never bring it later against you. People may do that to you, but God will never do that to you. When he forgives you, he forgets forever. Isaiah 43 also genuinely extols the praises of Yahweh. You see, God's ultimate goal is that his people praise him. That is why we come here, to lift up God, for you to join us to praise him, because the Bible tells us God inhabits the praises of his people. But most importantly for our message today, Isaiah 43 gladly endears our hearts with the promises of Yahweh. Isaiah 43 is so full of promises. The promises of God to the people of God. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you want promises from God, you will receive a lot just in Isaiah 43. So please let me ask you, what has God promised you of late? What promises has he made to you in the last year? Do you have a promise notebook in which you keep all the promises God has made to you and kept for you in order to what? Remind you of his faithfulness in your life? If you don't have, please begin today. I have my journal. Every morning I write, and sometimes I write the promise of the day from God to me. That's not for my preaching. That's just for me. And I go back and look at these promises of God to me. Well, let's not dig deeper into our gospel story. First of all, by carefully examining the prohibition of Yahweh in verse 18. A divine prohibition is given to the people of Judah. Yahweh is giving a prohibition. He's going to gently and graciously tell them not to be looking in the rear view mirror of their lives so as to miss out on what he has in store for them. You see, God knows our tendency of looking what? In the rear view mirror of our lives again and again and again. And because God loves his people and wants only the very best for them, often as a loving father, he lovingly admonishes them not to do what will hinder them from experiencing his very best for their lives. So this is exactly what we see in Isaiah chapter 43 verse 18. God is going to lovingly and tenderly tell his people, don't do this because it will hinder what I have in store for you. And what did he tell them? He says, do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. So simple. Having just made mention of the crossing of the Red Sea in verses 16 and 17 of Isaiah chapter 43, and how Pharaoh's chariots and horsemen were destroyed as he fought for them, Yahweh now tenderly and lovingly exhorts his people not to live in the past. How many of you here can confess that you are living in the past? I mean, we all do it from time to time. We go back and live in the past. You are not the first person who is doing it. Way back in the days of Israel, there were people living in the past. God says, don't live in the past, but look for me to do something special and something superior in your lives in the days to come. The Hebrew word translated call to mind is zakar. It means also to remember. Zachariah, it means remember, Yahweh remembers. So it means to remember, to recollect, to recite, to record, or to bring to remembrance, or to impress on the memory. So what's the point? Here's the point. Yahweh is saying to his people then and to us today, don't live your life always looking in the rear view mirror of your life, remembering and recollecting only the former things, repeating to yourself sometimes the good old days. We think the old days were good. Or revisiting them again and again, or rehashing them over and over again. You see, through the Spirit of God, Isaiah, the servant of God and the prophet of God, prepares the hearts and minds of the people of God for a consideration of a wondrous deliverance to come. It's as if Yahweh is saying to the people of Judah, great indeed was my deliverance at the time of the Exodus. Nevertheless, this was but a foretaste of a deliverance far greater to be accomplished by me. Therefore, my people, do not dwell so much on the Exodus and to consider it as the full object of your attention. In fact, I will graciously and gloriously act on your behalf, such that your remembrance of the former things will be in a way lost in the new thing I'm about to do for you, giving you a fresh new start. Why? Because this God is always looking for our best interests. Now, it is important to understand that the divine prohibition does not commend utter forgetfulness and total disregard of the former things, but that from this day forth, God is asking them to look forward rather than backward. The new thing which Yahweh is in the process of working out must assuredly eclipse the old. That is what is going to happen. God will work inside the new thing, eclipse the old. As such, it deserves a more undivided attention from his people. In other words, it is not that they are to give no thought at all to what God had already done, but Yahweh says, what I'm about to do out of my love for you is so much greater and more glorious that you should turn all your thought to what is to come. Look to what I'm going to do for you now. Yes, great was the deliverance of the past, but look for what I'm going to do now in your life. You see, as the former things were pervaded by the wonderful and miraculous, so also will be the new, yet wondrous and filled with miracles as were the former things. They are nevertheless to be forgotten in order that the glory of the new may stand alone before their eyes. So far superior is the new to the old that the old is to be put out of their mind, says Bible commentator Edward Young. Please let me ask you this practical question. What has God done in your past that you can especially look to as evidence of his presence in your life? Think of your past. What has God done to give you an evidence of his presence in your life in the past? Think about that. Then think about this also. What former things from your past do you have difficulty forgetting? We all have things like that in our past. But please listen carefully. God is saying to you and to me today, however great and grievous those past things were, look forward, not backward. So please, let's all say, look forward, not backward. Look forward, not backward. Well, having carefully examined the prohibition of Yahweh, that is not to be looking constantly in the rearview mirror of our lives. You know what happens to a driver who is only looking in the rearview mirror? Exactly. He's going to crash himself, kill himself. Yeah. You know that. I don't have to tell you. Now in verse 19, the Bible brings us to the point of confidently expressing the promise of Yahweh to the people of Yahweh. Isaiah 43 verse 19 is one of the sweetest, the surest, the special and steadfast promises in all of the Bible. In fact, this is one of the promises of God that cannot fail. As the hymn writer says, standing on the promises of God that cannot fail. Standing on the promises of God, I cannot fall. This is that type of promise we have before us. The Bible says in verse 19, behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Now, please notice that the promise of God to the people of God is here introduced in a dramatic manner. That is why the Bible says, behold, in the Hebrew, hineni. Often when the Bible uses behold or hineni in the Hebrew, it means something dramatic or extraordinary is about to happen or to be declared. Yeah, exactly. It means pay very, very close attention. Pay close attention to the God who is speaking and to what he's about to do in your life. So he says to his people, pay very close attention to what I'm about to declare to you and to do for you. Pay close attention to that. Now you see, the wonder of the coming deliverance is that God acts. May I say to you and to me today that God has never stopped acting or working on behalf of his chosen and consecrated people. The Bible says to this new thing, their entire undivided attention and thought must be given. Now please take note of this. The promise of Yahweh here is a promise that vividly and visually expresses his desire, his delight, and his determination. He says, my desire is that out of my love for you and for the glory of my name, I will do something new in your life. It's God's desire. He says, it's my delight to do something new in your life. He says, my determination to do something new in your life is unwavering, unshakable, unfaltering. You can count on me to fulfill this promise to you. I tell you, friends, the only person in the universe who desires and who determines and delights to do what he wants to do to his people is Yahweh. There's never anyone who can compare to him in that regard. So do you see what the Bible is teaching us here? God promises to do yet greater things for his people than he had done for them in the past. I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? What a promise to God's believing people then and today. The Bible is saying a new exodus will take place through a new desert. First, they came through the desert of what? The desert leading to Canaan. Now they are coming from the desert from Babylon. Different deserts. But God will do something new. The past miracles will be nothing compared to what God will do for his people in the future. In other words, deliverances of the nation in the past will pale into insignificance in comparison with the future deliverance the Lord is about to accomplish in their lives. You see, folks, listen carefully. God is saying the original exodus, where I exerted a lot of power, has not exhausted my power. My power is still fresh to do something fresh and new in your life. So the Bible is teaching us here that the deliverance of God's people through the Red Sea forms the background for a consideration of a far greater deliverance God is about to accomplish for his people. Oh yes, God has done the seemingly impossible in making a way through the sea en route to Egypt. So also in the future, he says he will do something new, something far superior than what he had done at the Red Sea. So this promise hints that a grander and more ultimate exodus awaits what? God's people. Actually, in this verse, the new thing is something God is about to perform, although it is described as it is now springing forth. In Isaiah 42 verse 9, the Bible gives a contrast between the former things and the new things. And at that time, when Isaiah spoke the prophecy, he said he didn't mention that the new things were springing forth. So in 42 verse 9, it says, "Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you." So what we have here is that in Isaiah 43 verse 9, probably represents a step in advance, in that here the new thing is already beginning. In 42 verse 9, it hasn't begun. But in 43 verse 19, it has begun. That is why it says, now it is springing forth. In fact, the word now suggests that as Yahweh speaks the new thing, it's already coming into being. Oh, how passionate is the Lord our God regarding keeping his promises to his people. You see, friends, once God begins a good work in your life and my life, he will be what? Faithful to complete that good work. You can count on him always to complete it. It's as if the prophet is exhorting God's people. The first part of the new thing has already started. How? Because God has already spoken it. It's set in motion. And the last part will soon come. So, what new thing has the Lord done in your life? What is he doing now in your life? Please listen. God's promise to you today, and I don't want you to forget this promise, is this. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, this is God's promise to you today. I will do something new in your life. I have already begun doing it. That's his promise to you today, and that is his promise to you, to me today. So please, let's say, Jesus, I am believing you to do something new in my life. You can say that. Jesus, I am believing you to do something new in my life. Thank you. Well, now, in order not to leave his people guessing as to the new thing he's promising to do for them, God himself plainly tells them what's going to be involved in the new thing. That is why at the end of verse 19, he boldly declares, I will even make a roadway in what? In the wilderness. Rivers in the desert. Two important lessons are here for us as I bring this message to a close. So please listen to these lessons from these last words. First is this. Where there is no clear path forward, God creates one. Perhaps that's your life today. There is no clear path forward. But may I tell you today, God is able to create one. In the wilderness, where men are easily lost because there is no way of travel, there's no sign telling you turn right and get on this. It's just a wilderness. Even people with Google Drive on their cars get lost in the wilderness. It says, the Bible says, God will transform the pathless wilderness that his chosen people may be able to go through safely from Babylon back to the promised land. In other words, the wilderness will no longer be a wilderness, but a place easily traversed. Second lesson is this. Where there is no natural relief or refreshment, God provides it. Rivers in the desert. This means the desert will no longer be a desert, but a fertile land of rivers. What a depiction of a radical change in the order of nature. Guess what? God also brings a radical change in our lives, in our circumstances, in order to do what? To give us a fresh start. So, how does this message apply to you and to me today? Please listen. If you are already a genuine, born-again believer in Jesus Christ, this is how the Holy Spirit wants to apply to your life. In total reliance on the Holy Spirit residing in you, commit yourself to looking forward, not backward. Please don't live your life always looking in the rearview mirror of your life. Second, call on Jesus today to give you a fresh start where you have failed him again and again. In fact, Jesus is waiting to give you that fresh start today. If only you will call on him sincerely from your heart. He can give you, and he will give you, a fresh start from a life of pornography, from a life of gambling, from a life of drug addiction, from the life of alcohol addiction, from the life of sexual addiction, from anger, bitterness, harboring hatred in your heart against those who hurt you. Jesus can give you a fresh start from all these lives. Count on Jesus today, not only to complete the good work he has begun in you, but also to create a path forward for you where there is no clear path forward. Perhaps you are at a point of quitting on life because you don't see any clear path forward in your life. Please don't give up. Please don't quit. Count on Jesus today to create a path forward for you. Why? Jesus specializes in doing that for his people. So please, if you are a believer, come forward. We will pray with you. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I heartily and honestly say to you today that Jesus loves you and he desires and delights in giving you a brand new start in life. Why? The Bible says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Behold, the old have passed, and new has sprung up. New things have come. So today you can experience a new start in the life of being what? A new creation in Jesus Christ. How? You simply come to Jesus just as you are. You don't have to clean up yourself. Yours is to come and Jesus will clean you up. That's his business. He's in the business of cleansing. And then confess to Jesus today that you are a sinner desperately in need of what? His salvation. And then confess to Jesus today with simple and sincere childlike faith, believing that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried to put away your sins as far as the east is from the west, that he rose again from the dead on that third day to bring you into a right standing with a holy God. And the Bible says you will be saved and set apart for his purposes, not only in this present life, but also in the life soon to come. So my brothers and sisters, the ball is now in your court to respond to God.